All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense for this Wednesday morning. It's January 18th. It is another beautiful day on Lake Wissota. I don't know how we managed to string them together like this, but we do. In this calm before the, what? Is it going to be a storm? They're not using the word blizzard, especially after they botched that one so horribly right before Christmas. But it looks like there'll be a band of snow. Oh, probably in the La Crosse to Green Bay range, probably in that, 5 to 8 inch area, and then maybe 3 or 4 on either side of that and less on either side of that. But it all depends on where it wobbles. It's all about the wobble. And all we can do is tell you it's probably going to snow where you are if you're listening somewhere here in Wisconsin. If you're listening online, if you're one of the new friends, you know, we made in Costa Rica or something like that, first off, we hate you. Second, you're up way too early. You're not going to get a tan on the beach at this hour. And, safe travels back here to winter whenever that might happen. Coming up this morning, the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate held their first floor sessions on Tuesday. Republicans wanted to add referendums to the April ballot designed to attack the newly unemployed and low-income people who might be in legal trouble. Democrats had a masterful response. You want to ask voters what they think about some issues? Fine. Let's get the voters' views on that abortion ban that was written in 1849. That's back on the books. Needless to say, the Republicans quickly scurried away from that particular idea, though, of course, their stuff will get up on the ballot because they have the majority right now. We'll talk a bit more about that later on. Also, in our second hour, Wisconsin Supreme Court elections have become expensive, hard-fought, frequently negative campaigns in recent years, dating back to Mike Gabelman in 2008. There's concern the same could eventually be happening for seats at the next level down, the Wisconsin Courts of Appeals. However, in one of those races this spring, one of the people running for a spot is running unopposed, thankfully. A friend of ours here, a fellow former state legislator, Chris Taylor, is now Dane County Judge Chris Taylor, and she will be joining us along with former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski. Sarah, you'll recall, shortly after her time as state senator or state treasurer came to an end, said that, you know, she'd like to come visit us every couple of weeks or so and help amplify the voices of women who are involved in public service or local leadership or what have you. And so she asked Judge Taylor to come on board and talk about being a legislator, running for judge, now running for Court of Appeals, and also the benefits and the sacrifices that, you know, women have to make if they want to pursue a career in public service. We'll also get visits from Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids later this hour. And then next hour, Todd Alba, whose show is heard at 8 o'clock on many of these civic media stations. To reach us by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com is the address. Or you can give us a call anytime, 715-388-7155 or 844-967-2789, where you will face an inquisition by producer Aaron Zommers. Good morning, Aaron.
Locally grown radio.
Hey, you remember the jingle? Yes. Okay. I think if you're willing to do that, and if we can get Mathers and a few others, I mean, we could really make it sound like a boy band. You know,
can always do what they did for the Hawks Bar and Grill advertisement in Madison and just record it messing around, tell Luke we're just goofing off, and then use it.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the best things happen, is just spontaneously that way. So yeah, we could definitely see that coming up. Among things we'll also talk about, the new congressional committees have been named in the Republican-controlled U.S. House of Representatives, and it is, what's the clean way of putting this? It's a rogues gallery of committee chairs and committee members and what have you. I mean, the Oversight Committee, the House Oversight Committee, the one that would do investigations of wrongdoing, where you really need the straight shooters on that committee so that justice is done. Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene is on that committee. Lauren Boebert is on that committee. Paul Gosar, Scott Perry, all of the goofballs who continue lying about the 2020 election and in some way, shape, or form at some level have provided support or encouragement to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. So they're basically going to turn the Oversight Committee into kabuki theater. We already knew that was happening because the Oversight Committee is chaired by Kentucky Republican James Comer. He's the one who you'll recall the other day said that he's going to make investigating President Biden and his family a top priority. And when he was asked, you know, about his comments about how Donald Trump handled classified documents, he said that that wasn't important to him, but that investigating Biden's family was, which really tells you all that you need to know. Brian Stile, the first district congressman, Republican from Wisconsin, is going to chair the House Administrative Committee. Probably can't do a lot of damage there. And then there's Mike Gallagher, the congressman from Green Bay, who at one point looked like he was going to be this voice of moderation amongst Wisconsin Republicans calling out Donald Trump on January 6th. But maybe later we'll play his latest bit of performance art from his garage, again, expressing some kind of outrage about Joe Biden classified documents. We didn't see that kind of sarcastic tone from him over Donald Trump's documents. And then there's George Santos, who has stolen from a dying dog. All that and more coming up on this Wednesday morning. This is Up North News Radio. We will be back with sports and more after this. Not sure how many of you saw the George Clooney movie Oh Brother Where Art Thou, but it is it's a very funny depiction of life in Depression era America, where it's tough for the little guy to get ahead because there's always some corrupt politician that wants to keep him down. That was kind of the tone, that the vibe that we were getting from the Wisconsin legislature recently on what could charitably be called the Republican wars on the poors, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. First off, in sports, this was from Monday night. We didn't get to talk about it yesterday, but I want to mention the retirement of former Milwaukee Brewer Travis Shaw. The way the Boston Globe reported it, the mayor of Ding Dong City officially is calling it a career. Former Boston Red Sox, Milwaukee Brewers, Toronto Blue Jays infielder Travis Shaw officially announced his retirement Monday night. He's 32 years old. He played 8 seasons between the three teams, and he was a fan favorite in all three cities. Shaw began his career with the Red Sox, where he got the Mayor of Ding Dong City moniker, which carried over to his time with the Brewers, where he really took a shine to the city and the fans to him, clubbing 63 home runs in his first two seasons with the squad. And so we wish Travis Shaw happy trails. He's one of those folks that you think, wow, 32, got 8 great seasons out of him, but he's still such a young man. And I mean, don't be surprised if, I don't know what the number is, maybe eight years from now, 9-10 years from now, people are saying something about that rookie manager, Travis Shaw, and how well he's doing with this team. And why do I remember that name? And then people will think back to a very good playing career during this era. So we wish him all the best. Over the basketball, Drew Holiday scored a season-high 37 points, and the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Toronto Raptors last night, 130 to 122. The Bucks played without Giannis Antetokounmpo for the fourth consecutive game because of knee soreness. He's in practices, and they are just taking things on a day-to-day basis. The Bucks are now in a 3-day break. They have gone 2-2 in the last 4 games without Giannis. There was also Chris Middleton, who has missed his 17th straight game with right knee soreness. There was a tight game for the first 3 quarters. Bit of an altercation in the fourth. Milwaukee took the lead, then never gave it up. And up next, the Bucks take a few days off before going to Cleveland on Saturday. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team beat Penn State last night, 63-60. That brings them to 4-3 in the Big Ten, 12-5 overall. Tyler Wahl returned to the lineup after a three-game injury illness. The Badgers lost all three of those games. Wahl had 10 points in last night's win. Up next, the Badgers travel to Northwestern on Saturday. And the Marquette men's basketball team hosts number 19 Providence coming up tonight. Still ahead in our next hour, Sarah Godlewski and Appeals Court judicial candidate Chris Taylor. And then tomorrow, Hometown Health in our 7:30 segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, bringing on a couple of folks who want to talk about the role of music and music education and the role that physicians are playing in the Green Bay area, putting on an annual event, the benefits of which go toward music education programs and to other local charities. So you're really not going to want to miss that one. Meanwhile, over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, one of the articles recently posted that you might want to take a look at is all about the biggest concerts and shows already scheduled for Wisconsin in 2023. There's about 20 different listings there for comedians, country stars, rock, and pop all over the state. And you can already get that information ready and set aside those dates on your calendar, because I know I'm not the only one that occasionally hears about some big show coming to your area. And by the time you hear about it, you know, the tickets are already sold out, or they're ridiculously expensive on something like Ticketmaster if you can get on at all. So here you go. A full year notice of shows that have been scheduled around the state. Go to upnorthnewswi.com and you'll be able to learn more and be prepared to maybe get some great entertainment that you weren't otherwise counting on earlier this year. All right, to the wars on the pores that seems to be just part of the DNA of the Republican Party nowadays. I'm not sure when exactly that happened. Yes, I do. Hashtag Reaganomics. But before I even get into the Wisconsin one, I took note of one out of Iowa politics, where Republicans have introduced a bill in that legislature that would severely restrict the food items that Iowans could purchase on SNAP, which back in my day, growing up in a poor family, you know, it was called food stamps back in our day. Now it's called SNAP. Here's the restriction from Iowa Republicans if this bill were to pass. No meat, no butter, flour, herbs, spices, frozen prepared foods, canned fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, bottled water, condiments. They're taking food literally out of the hands of low-income families and trying to restrict it as much as possible. They could only purchase in terms of meat, canned tuna, and canned salmon, and other things that are on the shortest list possible to be able to purchase to feed your family.
This seems like less of a deterrent to stop people from taking advantage of welfare and more like a way to prevent people from being healthy enough to get out of it.
Well, exactly. And that's exactly what it is. Again, these are folks that live to tell others to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, those who have no bootstraps. And when they try to acquire bootstraps, either with some assistance or for whatever means necessary, they're taken away. They're restricted. In Wisconsin, it's a little bit different. Here, you have a Republican war on employees overall, but the newly unemployed in particular. This is something we really saw during the pandemic, the early months of the pandemic. And people were being, you know, laid off. And then there was pandemic relief. And then there wasn't the immediate rush back into jobs. And part of that reason was a whole lot of folks who worked in jobs that had them on the front lines, exposed to coronavirus, they have this pandemic aid. It bought them a little time to job hunt for something that was better, better conditions, or would pay them better. And that's what they did. And it worked great. Wages started to go up. Yes, inflation started to as well, along with other factors behind the pandemic. But on the whole, it was a plus. But that couldn't have happened without the pandemic relief and the unemployment benefits that came from it. Well, Republicans now have been trying to do what they can to make it so you're on unemployment benefits for the least amount of time possible. Why would they do that? Because you then have to rush back in and take whatever job is available at whatever pay rate it is, because otherwise you can't feed your family. And Senate Republicans worked on a referendum measure yesterday that advances that strategy. It would put an advisory referendum on the April ballot statewide, asking whether able-bodied adults should be required to work for welfare benefits. Does that sound familiar? It should, because that requirement already exists in Wisconsin. It's an advisory referendum that says, shall able-bodied childless adults be required to look for work in order to receive taxpayer-funded welfare benefits? If passed, the referendum would have no effect. So why is it there? You remember us saying that there's a state Supreme Court race coming up? A very big state Supreme Court race coming up with a conservative justice retiring. There are two conservatives and two progressives running. The top two of those four candidates in the February primary will advance to the April ballot. And right now the court is controlled 4-3 by the conservatives. But if a progressive candidate, Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz, were to win in April, progressives would control the state Supreme Court 4-3 and could work toward things like undoing the rigged maps, getting rid of partisan gerrymandering in Wisconsin, striking down an abortion ban written by a bunch of white men in 1849 that is tying the hands of doctors and women and putting government in the exam room of women who are going through difficult pregnancies or difficult life circumstances. This able-bodied work requirement referendum, which again would do nothing, is about as crass as you get in politics. It is only being put up to gin up turnout in April so that, again, you get the torches and pitchforks brigade, you know, sounding like something out of the mob in Blazing Saddles going, roar, and get them to march toward the ballot and say, yeah, get those lazy people working. Remember, that's what Tim Michaels said during the gubernatorial campaign. He called Wisconsinites lazy. You know, this Connecticut businessman comes in and says, Wisconsinites are lazy because there was pandemic aid and unemployment relief that helped them get better jobs and better paychecks. But again, there is that mythical welfare queen that has existed since Ronald Reagan's time. And again, as somebody who lived that life with a single mom raising four kids, having to go wait in line with her to get our booklet of food stamps, I can say a lot about how hard people do work to try to get off of assistance. If you're trying to make the case that, you know, well, I can always point to somebody who's being lazy or taking advantage of the system. Hey, guess what? That's human nature. You're never going to get that number down to zero. I remember listening to some of you who are podcast fans. I remember in the early days of podcasting, there was a really great series called The History of Rome. And I don't remember the guy's name anymore, but he did just this masterful job of chapter by chapter taking us through the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Roman Empire over dozens of episodes, each one covering the rule of one emperor. One of the takeaways from that was when they came up with the idea, as people were, you know, dying of hunger in the cities and things because they weren't farming the land anymore, was to have a certain allotment of grain. And eventually, guess what? We got to the point where politicians were fighting about whether we should have these grain allotments and whether they're a disincentive and people cheating the system. My point being, there will always be people in need. There will always be people trying to work the system. Stop punishing the former because you think you can somehow eliminate the latter. It ain't going to happen. All you're doing is playing politics. Speaker Robin Voss says, Democrats often say they want people to have a social safety net, but not a hammock. Well, this is their chance, whether or not the rhetoric matches reality. Again, this is the illustration that they're going to paint, that Wisconsinites who run into tough times, if they don't take a job the next day at whatever rate is offered, are just lazy. So Democrats, to their great credit, said, fine, if we're going to put a referendum question on the ballot, let's do one with substance, one that would eliminate the state's 1849 abortion law. Let the people vote on it. Well, gosh, wouldn't you know, on a 21-11 vote, Republicans said no. They do not want people weighing in on things that have overwhelming bipartisan support and would have real impact on Wisconsin families. Back with more after this. You're up north.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
There's a lot less smoke coming from the distant fires of cigarettes, and we'll have some statistics about that in Wisconsin coming up in just a bit. Continuing our conversation about why the legislature yesterday wouldn't put the 1849 abortion ban up for public referendum. Our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly posts, thinking out loud here, but it feels like a statewide referendum on the 1849 criminal abortion ban seems more relevant to the people of Wisconsin than one confirming what we already require of welfare recipients. But what do I know, she writes. I'm just a woman who takes care of women. And then there's a favorite of ours, State Representative Francesca Hong, who reminds us that Republicans gaveled out a special session called by Governor Evers to consider changes or repeal of the 1849 ban. She says Republicans have introduced numerous bills restricting access to reproductive health care and continue to attack our reproductive freedoms. Hong writes, every single Wisconsinite should have the right to consult their family, their faith, and their doctor to make a reproductive health care decision that is right for them. And every single Wisconsinite should make the decision of if and when to have children without interference from politicians who don't know anything about their life circumstances, values, or responsibilities. Hong finishes, my Democratic colleagues and I will never stop fighting for safe abortion access for all. Republicans were putting that able-bodied work requirement on the ballot, as I mentioned, to try to gin up April turnout in the April election for the state Supreme Court seat. They know they have to do this. They have to try something because, as you could just saw there from Representative Fran Hong, abortion rights is an issue that's going to be on every ballot from now on because of the Dobbs decision. It will always be prevalent as long as women are treated as second-class citizens in healthcare because of right-wing politicians. So if this topic is always going to be in front of voters from this point forward until those rights are restored, Republicans know they either have to gin up turnout with fake ballot questions about fake issues, or, as in the case of Ron Johnson, you find some very wealthy people to spend a whole lot of money on your behalf to lie in political ads in order to win elections. One or the other or both's got to happen because they can't take the third path, which is just to win on their ideas. Keep women from having their health care rights, blame the poor for their own circumstances, and cut taxes for the rich. There's nothing there for you. All right, let's get to some good news with apologies for any glitch here in the internet connection as we move along on this morning. Usually I get a glitchy connection on a cold morning, not one like this. Still catching up with some headlines from when I was away last week, and I wanted to kind of give a couple of thumbs up out there to various stories, including Wausau, where the PFAS remediation water treatment plant has gone online, is working, and is pulling these industrial chemicals out of the water that otherwise had been in the drinking water supply in the areas of Wausau and Rib Mountain. And while I was away back last Friday, Senator Tammy Baldwin came to town, joining city officials from Wausau and Rib Mountain to tour the new water treatment plant. Baldwin had reason to be there and to take some partial credit, since she was highlighting the $3.25 million in federal funding that she secured for PFAS remediation. They watched the plant filter out the harmful contaminants from the city's drinking water and talked about the ongoing costs, especially for small municipalities, and how this does, it is going to translate to higher water bills. It's not like this whole thing was given away for free. Far from it. Water users, taxpayers, they have to pay for this. And that's part of why you see efforts wherever possible to try to trace the source of these chemicals, these man-made chemicals, and if possible, get assistance from the original source who dumped it either intentionally or not. But if they have the ability to help clean up their own mess, you gotta go for that. And yet Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and through their friends on the Natural Resources Board and in the Wisconsin legislature have consistently, sometimes overtly, sometimes more subtly, tried to be an impediment to that whole need to get polluters to help pay for their mess. Thankfully, because of, you know, Tammy Baldwin and other local leadership like Katie Rosenberg, Mayor of Wausau, now we are seeing things move forward in a cleaner direction for the users of Wisconsin drinking water. Now to that news story out from the Wisconsin Policy Forum about cigarette sales. Their headline from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, this independent research group, cigarette sales go up in smoke. I'm sorry, I should have had the rim shot ready for Aaron over there. But he notes that legal sales of cigarettes have plummeted in recent years. From a strictly dollars and cents standpoint, if you looked just at the cigarette tax, it would mean that Wisconsin is receiving much less revenue. However, there's all of these health benefits that also have an impact on the state budget. Fewer smokers means lower rates of disability and diseases like cancer, heart disease, and lung disease. So you have lower public and private healthcare costs. So here are the numbers. By the numbers, let's see. I want to get to, let's start with 2001, when 420 million packs of cigarettes were purchased. 2001, 420 million. Last year, less than half that amount, 193 million packs of cigarettes. So 420 million down to 193 million since 2001. That's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. The 193 million is still way too many. We still have a lot of work to do to help people stop killing themselves, but it's working on several levels. As the Policy Forum notes, there's, you know, increased public health messaging, there's the growth of substitute products. There are changes at the federal, state, and local levels. Certainly the smoking ban that I was a part of in the Wisconsin legislature played a very big role in that. But then there's a lot to be said about the cigarette tax increases year by year in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I, like you said, with the alternatives, I was definitely curious. I wonder how much of that is supplanted with things like vaping. But even still, I'd rather people vaping than smoking cigarettes.
Well, you know, not necessarily. I'll disagree with you on that in this way. Vaping was relatively new as I was leaving the legislature, and our friends at the American Cancer Society quickly noted that over the years, we've been able to learn more about what's in cigarettes. We still don't know entirely, but we know more and more. Vaping is not regulated to that extent, and so it is actually less likely that you're going to know if there's anything dangerous in there. So your point is spot on about its reduced cigarette smoking. Hasn't necessarily, we don't know that it's healthier or less healthy, because we're still trying to figure out what all is in that stuff. Sure, maybe it, you know, smells like blueberries, but you know, we don't know. Maybe those PFAS had to go someplace else and they're in those cartridges now.
That's very possible and probably likely.
So, but when you mentioned the substitute products, specifically nicotine patches, recall, you know, my wife Sherry is a physician. I was a politician in the state Senate, and we came at this from a couple of different ways. To her, it was the nicotine patches, the counseling, the advice that she could give to patients did wonders, and she's absolutely right. It was great to have all those things out there. I, thinking like a politician, said, I understand all that, but the other thing that I think really helps is that year by year incremental increase in the cigarette tax, that it's not there as a revenue tool. It's there as a policy tool to say, we need to save money by you smoking less. So it's going to go up. And I know that both of my parents, who eventually gave up decades of smoking, cited that increased cost. So there would be bills or proposals to come up each year saying, well, we should double the cigarette tax or we should triple the cigarette tax. And my view at the time was no, because all you're doing then is creating a black market for it. But if you just, you know, continue to incrementally make that more and more expensive, people eventually look at that and say, you know, it is just not worth it anymore. So it's that combination of things. It's the taxes, it's the substitute products, it's the public health messaging that has all been extremely helpful in cutting more than half the number of packs of cigarettes sold in Wisconsin since 2001. And I know that Jason Stein from the Wisconsin Policy Forum has been on one, maybe two Civic Media radio shows already talking about this. We may get him or somebody else to come on at a later point and go into this in more detail, but I just wanted to give that overview since it's a statistic that just came out. And maybe later on we'll get into just what that meant from a dollar value on the revenue that comes into state government from the tax. But to me, the public health benefit was the thing that was much more important. A Wisconsin judge on Tuesday dismissed an open records complaint against one of Donald Trump's fake electors, who still has the audacity to sit on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We're talking about Bob Spindell and allegations that the Elections Commission violated the state open records law by wrongly withholding documents related to Bob Spindell. The complaint against the Wisconsin Elections Commission will go forward, but the claim made against Spindell individually was dismissed on Tuesday by Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost. The commission itself, the judge ruled, and not Robert Spindell, is the legal authority who must obtain the records in question and be the target of any lawsuit. Now, this complaint is coming from the progressive law firm Law Forward, which filed it in relation to some remarks that Spindell made about the fake electors controversy. Recall that, again, he and nine other Republicans illegally posed as state electors to try to convince Congress to declare that Trump won Wisconsin in 2020, even though he did not. That was a lie. But those fake electors met in the state capitol during a time of COVID restrictions when they shouldn't have been in there, but that meeting was facilitated by Scott Fitzgerald, who's now a congressman. The Wisconsin Elections Commission last year rejected a complaint about the events, saying that the Republicans who cast the votes in their mind didn't break any election laws. But keep this in mind. Spindell took part in the debate and the vote. He did not recuse himself from considering the complaint, even though he was one of the fake electors. The group Law Forward alleges that Spindell should have been excluded from considering the complaint, and that Spindell and the commission have failed to turn over records that Law Forward has requested multiple times related to a comment that Spindell made at a November 2021 meeting, where he openly discussed his decision not to recuse himself. The Law Forward folks wanted to see any documents that Spindell appeared to be reading from during the meeting. And so that open records case against the Wisconsin Elections Commission will go on. It's just that the individual case against Spindell will not. Coming up, we're going to have Melissa Kay here from Homegrown, no, Locally Grown Radio. jump in here with me. WFHR. Aaron leaves the room when I want to sing. It's crazy.
Oh, I had a fan on. I was turning it off.
So we'll talk to Melissa with this day in music history, this day in history, birthdays, and we'll find out what else is going on with her up there in Wisconsin Rapids at Locally Grown Radio. Come on, Aaron. Locally Grown Radio. We're going to try it again after the commercial break. You're up north. Well, there you go. There's the alternative to Pat Boone or, you know, whatever people were listening to in 1964 when the Beatles broke into the U.S. charts for the very first time with I Want to Hold Your Hand. We're going to talk about that and more about this day in music history next with Aaron. Help me out here. Melissa Kay from
Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR.
Hey, not bad, guys.
No, it was
not
terrible, bad. But we're working on it. So
yeah, you're right. It wasn't bad. Like Pat said, it was terrible. But
how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you? You've been gone. I missed you.
I know. Please don't be jealous of the tan. Part of it is just some leftover TV makeup. But no, it was great. Like I tell everybody, you know, cheeseburgers always taste better by the ocean. And yes. It was a nice getaway, especially when you come back here and you're facing, I don't know what the forecast is for you. I'm guessing it's in the 5 to 8 inch range of snow for tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Heavy, wet, you know, the good stuff.
Yep. We did not, and of course by we mean me, I did not get a chance to thoroughly clean off the driveway before leaving on vacation. And so the previous snow, you know, turned into a big old ice sheet because then it was melting and then it snowed some more. And I'm sure I looked like Shackleton looking for the South Pole, you know, with this big chisel that I have, stomping at the ice, trying to get rid of it before this next round of snow. Otherwise I'm never going to be able to get things off of it. But you know, what do I always say to wrap these things up? We are one day closer to spring.
That is true.
That makes nobody feel better. I understand.
It really doesn't. It's platitudes.
So the Beatles first showed up on US radio with I Want to Hold Your Hand in 1964. It eventually went to number one for 7 weeks. But I almost find this kind of hard to believe, Melissa. I Want to Hold Your Hand, the Beatles' first tune, when it debuted at number 54 on the singles charts. Can you just imagine I'm trying to think of the generational divide there of parents hearing it versus kids hearing that for the first time. Yeah, it divided folks. All right, let's let's next go to 1975, where Barry Manilow had another number one hit with this particular tune named for somebody special.
I remember all my life, raining down as cold as ice.
And this, of course, would be his chart-topping single, Mandy.
But it was originally titled Brandy.
Exactly. I was going to say, who did he write the song about? Not anybody named Mandy. There was no Mandy. They had to change it because there was a better song about Brandy on the charts at that point. Aaron, wasn't there? There it is. One of these days, on one of these beach bars, there will be enough pina coladas that this will be my karaoke song. Not now. But
I want to see that.
Yeah. So that one by Looking Glass was popular at the time. So that's how Barry Manilow's tune went from Brandy to Mandy.
At least he did actually write this one, though.
Yeah, he did actually write this one. We were laughing yesterday at how he was on the charts with I Write the Songs, but he didn't write that song. Bruce Johnson from the Beach Boys did. Birthdays today. Do you remember Bobby Goldsboro? Mm-hmm. Nothing? Wow. I feel very much older now. he had this hit called Honey. He had a variety show in the 70s on TV. Anyway, he's 82 years old today. This also would be the 82nd birthday for David Ruffin of The Temptations. And we'll play Ain't Too Proud to Beg in the background, one of his greatest hits. Sadly, he died way back in 1991 in Detroit at the age of 50. Other birthdays today include Dave Bautista. You either know him for turning 54 today as an MMA fighter or as an actor. If I say Dave Bautista, Melissa, do you see him spot in place? I'm
not an MMA fan.
Do you watch Guardians of the Galaxy?
I have not.
Okay. He played the role of Drax, the really big tattooed bald guy in there. And he has a really funny role in Glass Onion, the new movie that's out, the Knives Out one.
Did you see that?
Oh, I wanted to see that.
It's really good.
What's that, Aaron?
It's very good. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Knives Out, funny. Glass Onion, not quite as funny, but very entertaining. And yeah, Dave Bautista is another one of those who, like The Rock and John Cena, I don't watch wrestling. I don't watch MMA. And so I see these guys, you know, try to make the shift into acting. And it just reminds you of the theater of wrestling. I mean, there's a reason they got successful there. They're good. They're good actors. They're funny or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it is. It's all about the acting. Well, not that there isn't some athletic ability there. I don't think you and I would necessarily make it as MMA fighters.
Probably not.
Although I don't know. I don't really know you that well. You might have some really sweet
some hidden
moves.
Talents. You know, I used to wrestle with my uncle when I was a kid.
There you go.
And I have all brothers. Who knows?
Well, if you have all brothers, then yes, absolutely. That was the case. let's see. On this day in 1989, Stevie Wonder became the youngest living inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, inducted at just the age of 38. And then one more bittersweet note. This is the 7th anniversary of the passing of Glenn Frey, guitarist for the Eagles, who passed away at age 67 after fighting illnesses for several years. Lion Eyes will play in the background, one of my favorite hits from him doing that. So while that plays, we get to turn to Melissa and ask what you've been doing and having fun with over at Locally Grown Radio, or what's ahead, what's new in Rapids World.
We got a lot of exciting interviews coming up on our morning magazine. We've got Mayor Blazer in today. And then later this week, we'll be talking with our Visit Rome sponsors there. And then also Senator Patrick Keston is going to be on Friday, as well as a historic Point boss.
It'll be interesting if he has taken questions on why the Senate Republicans wanted to put in the able-bodied work requirement on the as a referendum when that already is state law, versus why he voted against putting the state's 1849 abortion ban up for a vote.
Correct.
For a referendum.
You would think that would have more interest for Wisconsin residents, because there is already a work requirement on having UI benefits. So, yeah. You know, I trust that James is going to ask him those hard questions, because they have a really good rapport, the two of them. So their conversations are always informative.
It's one of the things I've really come to appreciate as we launched Civic Media here. I was hearing Chad Holmes yesterday with Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg. You get to hear Todd Alba talk to his old boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, about how, you know, this Republican is keeping other Republicans accountable. Just some great conversations on all these stations, including Wisconsin Rapids, who's leaving us to get their show started on Locally Grown Radio. Melissa Kay, so great to visit with you as always. Enjoy the rest of the week.
You too, Pat. Good to see you. You too, Aaron.
All right. When we come back, we'll get set to talk to Chris Taylor, now a Dane County judge running for Court of Appeals, and former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski on Up North News Radio.